Hello, friends. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and welcome to All Things Murder. Welcome to All Things Murder, the show that dives into real true crime cases that inspired pop culture movies and shows we know today. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and who doesn't love Alice in Wonderland? I mean, as a child and even now as an adult, I wanted to be Alice and fall down the rabbit hole to a magical world greater than the reality that we live in, for sure. Of course, that was just, you know, child's tale. But the real life Wonderland wasn't far off. A drug house on Wonderland Avenue, high above the Sunset Strip, that hosted the seedy side of LA's up-and-comers. It housed hundreds of thousands of dollars in drugs, and on a vengeful leader's orders, became the scene of a quadruple homicide so bloody that it made the news for decades and is still unsolved. For today, my friends, we'll be discussing the Wonderland murders. Listener's discretion is advised. The house on Wonderland Avenue was home to the members of the Wonderland Gang, LA's most successful distributor of cocaine in the 1970s. Their growing operation had virtually cornered every market, and the property was officially leased in Joy Miller's name, but it was home to a rotating cast of characters. Joy, who was a longtime heroin user, who had fallen in love with the gang after separating from her wealthy husband in her Beverly Hills life. Yeah, I just want to get rid of all of the labels and the country club just for some heroin, and I want to join a gang. Screw it. Like, what? But hey, the 70s. Crazy time. Joy Miller's boyfriend was Billy Deverell, who had been arrested 13 times, sounds like a catch, freelance bounty hunter David Lind, and a friend, Robert Linus, who'd done federal time for drug smuggling. Ron was Wonderland's king, like the gang leader, and he had made a name for himself during the Vietnam War when he was dishonorably discharged from the army for smuggling drugs, wait for this, just wait, back to the US in the bodies of dead servicemen. Like, dude, really? Ron Linus's wife, Susan, also lived in the Wonderland house, who was also a drug user like her husband. She would largely, you know, distance herself from gang activities, like, just here for the drugs, guys. Don't mind me. A frequent visitor and a pad crasher was John Holmes. John Holmes was a porn star who had made millions of dollars hawking his notoriously lengthy penis to porno movie producers during the sexual revolution of the 70s. Man, the 70s. They were an interesting time. The group made their way by posing as police officers who would rip off other drug dealers and then confiscate their stash. They would then sell the drugs to their own customers. Cocaine wasn't the only source of revenue for the Wonderland crew. Oh no, guys. We can't just do coke. We gotta go bigger. Think bigger. Heroin was their private passion, and armed robbery was their side gig. Oh, okay. Just their side gig, you know. It's good to have a side hustle. Stealing from their rivals was both a source of income and effective way to keep their competitors, like, out of business. Like, hey, back off, bro. Until it backfired one terrible bloody night. The murders. On June 29th, several days before the Wonderland murders, four members of the Wonderland gang decided to rob the home of notorious club owner and gang leader Eddie Nash. Linus and Devil disguised as police officers and would lead fellow gang members David Lynn and Tracy McCourt into his house, where they then handcuffed Nash and his bodyguard, Gregory Dials. During the robbery, as Eddie was being made to open the safe, David accidentally shot and wounded his bodyguard, Gregory Dials. They walked away, unrecognized, with $1.2 million in illegal drugs, cash, jewelry, and arms. The latter belonging to a collection the Wonderland Gang itself had sold to Eddie just days earlier. Though police didn't identify a suspect initially, Eddie pointed fingers at several people he knew had been in his home the day of the crime. At the top of his list was none other than John Holmes, who had returned to the house three times just that morning. Presumably, he suspected to make sure the patio door was open and unlocked so the gang could break in. It was the porn star! Eddie had been so convinced that John was involved that he made his now injured bodyguard track him down and beat the assailant's names out of him. He beat the shit out of him, like, you're gonna tell me who robbed me. It is believed that under the orders of Eddie Nash, that his bodyguard and a couple of others, one of whom may or may not have been John Holmes, would break into the house at 8763 Wonderland with steel pipes, and they would go room to room, bashing in the skulls of the occupants. At 4 p.m. on July 1st, police received a panic phone call from a pair of furniture movers as they were working at the house next door to 8763 Wonderland. They were hearing desperate pain moans coming from this drug house. Like, is someone ODing in there? What's going on? Like, what's the commotion? What's going on? The body of Barbara, or Butterfly, Richardson, who was David Land's girlfriend, was lying on the ground near the couch she had been sleeping on, covered in blood. Joy Miller was found dead in her bed, while her boyfriend Deverell's body was slumped at the foot, leaning up against the TV stand. A bloody hammer was tangled in Joy's sheets, and several metal pipes were all over the floor. Ron Linus was dead, bloodied and beaten almost beyond recognition. The most horrifying sight was probably Linus's wife, Susan. She was found covered in blood on the floor next to the bed that held her dead husband's body, with her skull bashed in, but she was somehow miraculously still alive. This lady had her head bashed in and everyone else around her died, and she survived. The moans of the moving company we're hearing had been coming from her. Though she did survive the attack and did make a full recovery, the brain damage she sustained left her with permanent amnesia, so she was unable to recall the events that happened that night. Can you just imagine that? Waking up and you're like, by the way, everyone you know died. You almost died. Can you tell us a little bit about that night? And she has no memory. Like, oh, poor lady. The police searched the home and interviewed neighbors, who later admitted that they did hear screams in the early hours of the morning around 3 a.m. But the house had such a reputation for being, you know, loud and disruptive behavior because it was a drug house, you know, like a gang was living there. So the neighbors just assumed the gang was having a party and didn't bother to call the cops. Susan had been lying on the floor alive with her skull broken for more than 12 hours. She is so lucky to be alive. Like, 12 hours. Holy shit. When police searched the home, they saw a bloody handprint on the headboard above now dead Ron, and it belonged to John Holmes, the porn star. He was arrested and charged with 4 counts of murder. The prosecution argued that he had retaliated against the Wonderland Gang after feeling slighted by the division of all the stuff they got from Eddie Nash's robbery. Like, they robbed him, and he's like, y'all didn't get me none? Really? But the story wasn't convincing. It did seem more likely to a jury and public alike that the porn star had just been caught in the crossfire, wrong place, wrong time. Perhaps. John Holmes was acquitted, though since he refused to give any evidence during his trial, he ended up serving 110 days in jail for contempt of court. Police's next suspect was Eddie Nash. I mean, they did just rob him, so yeah, I'd get to that conclusion too. The police were suspecting that Eddie had murdered the gang for revenge, And when they questioned him and eventually arrested the rival drug leader, they did charge him with planning the murders, and Eddie Nash was saved by a hung jury. Just one juror stood between Eddie Nash and a guilty verdict. Yeah, one juror. It's like, I don't think he did it, though. What was his motive? Eddie Nash walked free until 2000, when he was charged with drug trafficking and money laundering. As part of a plea deal, he admitted to having bribed the single dissenting juror in the original trial. Like, yeah, I gathered that almost immediately. Come on, people. He also confessed to commanding that his men get back all the stolen items in the Wonderland house on the night of the murders, though he never admitted to having ordered the murders. I just wanted my stuff back. I didn't tell anyone to kill them. Nope. No, sir. Today, the Wonderland killings are remembered as one of Hollywood's most gruesome moments. A horror story whose images and video have continued to haunt long after the bodies were buried. Who do you think it was? Do you think it was the porn star? Do you think it was, like, the rival drug gang leader, Eddie Nash? I mean, I don't know. Who do you think was guilty? Remember, this is still an unsolved case. Rest in peace to all of the victims of the Wonderland murders. Even though they were drug dealers, did not deserve to die like that. Thank you all so much for joining me. I am Marissa Blackwood, and don't forget to tune in next week for a new All Things Murder, if you dare.